For the first time in a while, I actually sat there and always prepare every week, but I got a little extra time yesterday, and it was a good time for me to get into the Word and get some things out that I want to be able to share with you. So I've been talking for the last few weeks about the spirit versus the flesh, and I've been talking about the natural versus the supernatural, and we kind of started the whole series off saying that you know what, to even being sensitive to the Spirit and hearing what the Spirit of the Lord says, you know, we need to be attempting to live a holy life. In other words, if we know what the Bible says, to him who knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him or her it's a sin. So we know that there's things that are told in the Word that we're supposed to do. We also know there's some things that maybe God's dealt with us personally about. You know, maybe it's a different way that the Word has said something to us, and the Lord has spoke to us through that, and maybe it's perfectly fine for everybody else, but for us, God has called us to separate and set ourselves apart from whatever that thing is. Now, if we know that, to him who knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it's a sin. And there's been times in my life where there are certain things that I totally stayed away from. You know, I had to get away from, you know, some golf, actually, was something that I love to play golf. But there was a time where God called me to separate myself from that. And I did. I separated myself for an entire year. And it wasn't because I was bored, and it wasn't because I was playing bad. I was, but it wasn't because of that. I've played golf all the time, even though it was bad. It's kind of like fishing. People still go fishing whether they catch fish or not, right? They just go fish. And that gets on my nerves, which is why I don't do that very much, because if I'm fishing, I'm going to catch fish. Not throw the ski out. There ain't no fish biting. Let's just ski. But that might have to be with my hyperness. I don't know. So there are times that we need to be separated from things that maybe God's dealt with us individually that aren't necessarily wrong for everybody else. But for us, God's spoken to our heart. That's where we started. Then we started speaking about the fact that we live in a natural world, but we've been filled with a supernatural God. It was never God's intention for us just to let things happen to us. That was never God's intention. God's intention from the beginning, Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. And we also know that Jesus said in the book of Mark that authority that he has, he's given to us. He's given us that same authority to go out and do what? Make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, speak with new tongues, heal the sick, you know, set the prisoners free, you know, all of those things we've been called to do. Not just sit back and let the pastor do it. Not just sit back and watch everybody else do it, but we've been called to do that. And you know, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Sometimes people have built up such an expectation through the years of what they've heard through preaching and about how unworthy they are and about those types of things that people don't even attempt to go. Well, listen, it isn't about how much you pray. We should pray. But it isn't about that. It isn't about how much word we read. We should read our word. It's not about how much we fast. But what it's about is being obedient and speaking the word to people. Because the word, it isn't you. Do you understand that? It isn't you. It's your being obedient, and it's God's word that does it. I remember I'd gotten saved and backslid. And even though I'd backslid, I would be in situations where I'd start speaking word. Before Kevin rededicated his life, he was still paying his tithes. He knew that was the right thing to do. That was in his heart. He knew it. He wasn't going to church, but he'd send his tithes. Because he knew that that's what he was supposed to do. He had all these things going on in his life, yet that one thing he was doing. He was still giving because that was in his heart. Well, you know what? Now, hey, line that up. Not being a very good witness when we're doing that, right? But at least it's in us. And at least we know enough to be obedient. But, you know, don't go around through life thinking that you're not worthy to be able to share. It's not you. God put that word in you for a reason, and that's for you to be able to share with the people around you. Now, here's the issue. What people are looking for, they're looking on the outside as opposed to what they want to see on the inside. In other words, here's what's going on. People, when they look at when they see your life and they see the fruit that they see on the outside, they're expecting on the outside what we're saying is on the inside. That's what people are looking for from Christian people. So we go, I love Jesus. Jesus is good. Well, they're looking for us to walk around and talk like that. They're looking for us to operate like that. If we're telling them we're faith people, they're looking at us to be walking around to have faith. If not, the world's got all that. Why wouldn't they just stay in the world? They go, look, I can get that in the world. You know, there's a lot of places where you go and churches have backbiting and fighting in the church. Well, people look at that and go, I can get that at the house. I ain't got to go to church to get that. They're looking for the real stuff, not only to be on the inside, but it to be coming on the outside. And that's what we've got inside of us, is the supernatural power of God. And we talked about that. We talked about our spiritual authority, the authority that we have to go out and do what God's called us to do. In other words, we don't have to just let things happen to us. God created us to have authority from the beginning over everything, over all the creatures, over everything. But man gave that authority back to the enemy, where he became the god of this earth. However, Jesus' sole purpose for coming was to take back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And yes, it was for love. And yes, it's so that we would have salvation. But his whole purpose for coming was to take that authority back and to give it to us as we live and reign here on the earth. But see, Christian people haven't really taken advantage of that. We haven't taken advantage of what it is that Jesus came to do for us. And you know what? You don't have to have goosebumps every time you do it. You know, just because I speak the word doesn't mean that I have to have goosebumps to know that the word's doing its job. Because it isn't about me. It's about the word and about the living word, and that the living word will do the work. That's what it's about. Okay, but some people think they got to feel goosebumps. Listen, we don't live by emotions. We live by faith. There's some people that need to be a little more emotional about their faith. However, that's a good thing. But we don't live by emotions. We live by faith. I tell people when they come and preach here, I go, listen, just because everybody ain't saying amen and praise the Lord and all that stuff all the time and shouting you down and all that, don't mean they ain't listening. I go, we got a bunch of people here that were either unchurched or church very little, and they've been coming to church. I go, they're like a sponge. They're sitting there and they're soaking it up and they're taking it in. So it's not that they're not receiving it. They're hearing you. They're receiving it. But it's also good, you know, when you say amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah and stuff like that when the preacher's preaching, you know, it's like putting a dog on a pork chop. You know, it just does something inside the preacher. Amen. So we're supposed to do that. But here's how I kind of wanted to finish the series. And that's what I want to do today. How do we recognize whether we're operating in the flesh or the spirit, and what do we do about it? So we've been talking about this, what God's given us. We've been talking about what our life should look like. We've been talking about how we should be living in the spirit and how we should be walking in the supernatural as opposed to the natural and the flesh. But how do we recognize it when we've slipped over into the other side and we're not operating in the spirit? And what do we do about it? What do we do about it to get ourselves back in line? And that's exactly where I want to go today. When we're born again, I've shared this with you before, when you get saved or you're born again spiritually. God does that work on the inside of you. However, the body isn't in line with that, and the soul man isn't in line with that. God did the work in the spirit. However, you and I are responsible to pull the body in line and to pull the flesh in line, and also to have our soul man transformed and renewed. So when we were born again, and that man on the inside was born again spiritually speaking, the Zoe, God kind of life came on the inside of us. John 10:10, the thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you would have life. Zoe life. The God kind of life. Or, better translated is, Zoe God kind of life, or the God kind of life. Life as God has it is the type of life we're supposed to have. And that, more abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, above all we could ask or think. When you received Christ, that's what came on the inside of you. Zoe, God life. You're not the same person you used to be. You're a different person. You don't possess what you used to possess. The only reason that you might see some of that old stuff come out is because you haven't put that under what's in you. That's the bottom line. If we see some stuff coming out that we're like, where in the world did that come from? Then it's because we haven't put whatever that part of the flesh is under what's on the inside of us. We're literally a new spiritual creature. And the Zoe life is the very life and nature of God. And once you've received Him, He dwells in you. Isn't it amazing people go out and do things and they think that they can... like they're doing stuff secretive, like people aren't going to know. Haven't you noticed through the years that what people do in the darkness is always exposed in the light? Have you not seen that? And you know what? No matter what anybody else knows, there isn't a person in here, not one person in here, that doesn't have parts of your life that you don't necessarily want broadcasted. That you don't want somebody to go write a story about. Now, unfortunately, pastors and preachers and televangelists and stuff like that, they go put their life out there. And so you know what? They're free game. They're open. And there's not even one of them that didn't have stuff happen in their life that they don't want broadcasted. They don't want to be published. But that Zoe, God life, came on the inside of us. And it's all the life that God has to give, we've got it. We've got it. All that God has to give, He gave it to us. He gave us His Son. He gave us that life. It dwells in us, and it transforms us into something that we wouldn't recognize. People that walk around with a chip on their shoulder, it removes the chip. It should remove the chip. If you know Christian people that's got a chip on their shoulder and they still got it, something's wrong. You know, something's wrong. Man, I love to hear Bill Winston preach. I don't know if you've listened to Bill Winston. Bill Winston is a black pastor in the Detroit area. And let me tell you something, man. I just love the way he shucks it on down. And you know, he don't get on just a certain color or a certain thing. He goes, listen, if you ain't receiving from God, it ain't because of your color. If you ain't receiving from God, it ain't because of what your job is. If you ain't receiving from God, it isn't, you know. And he just, I mean, there ain't no nook or cranny left when he gets done. Because he's saying it don't matter who you are. God's no respecter of persons. And everything he's done for everybody else, he's done for you. But have you taken advantage of what he's done for you? This is a man that quit his job, a very awesome job that he had, went into full-time ministry, and God just blessed him at every turn. And that, it wasn't because of his faith all the time. He had taught so much faith to his kids, sometimes it took the faith that he instilled into his kids to challenge his faith. Childlike faith, there's something to that, amen? So, old things are passed away. We've become new creations in Christ. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And go to verse 5. Are you there? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, which by the way is fleshly minded or the natural realm, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Boy, next to being saved, peace is the most awesome thing I think you can have in your life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, like you were an enemy of God's. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh, look here. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways, and they can't please God. They'll receive nothing from the Lord. We can't operate in the works of the flesh and please God. So whenever we're not operating according to the Word, whenever we're not operating according to faith, it's not pleasing to God. That ought to be enough right there for us to be mindful about it. Hey, you know, when we're saying those things that we occasionally say, I know what the Bible says, but I know what I'm supposed to do, but let me tell you something. You know, so you might as well just say, but I'm going to be unpleasing to God anyhow, because that's pretty much what you're saying. There's no excuses. You know, when do we get to the point? You can tell your maturity when you quit making excuses. I told you before, I went off to do missionary work. And did that little missions tour when I was there. And when I came back, you know, one of the easy things for me to say was that my wife really didn't want to go over there. So just blame it on my wife. Right? My wife don't want me to. My wife don't want to. It's easy to blame her. But the truth was, I didn't have the prayer and devotional life to be successful over. That's the truth. There ain't nothing stopping me, including my wife. And, you know, but that was an excuse. I made an excuse. And as long as we're making excuses for why we are where we're at and why we don't have what we don't have, then we're not mature. We're babies. That's what babies do. My kids, when they were growing up, if I was to get on one of them's case, here's what they'd say every time. Dylan don't have to. What about Dylan? Dylan don't have to. He's a boy. He don't have to do nothing. We got to do everything. We don't do nothing. Yeah, now he says that about them. But they're married and gone, so I don't care. But that's what you do when you're immature. It's everybody else. So when Kim and Kevin were growing up, Kim would find out something about Kevin, and she would always blame Kevin. You know, she held him down one time so he couldn't go to the bathroom, made him pee his pants. That's the pastor's wife did that. Made her brother pee his pants. Now that ain't a good thing, honey. But fortunately, she's grown through the years and. She ain't big enough to hold me down from going to the bathroom. And she's never tried. Thank you, honey. But her and Kevin would get in a fight, and every time she blamed Kevin, and Kevin would get in trouble. And lots of times she was starting it. She'll tell you she was starting it, but she always blamed Kevin. As long as we continue to put blame and excuse our behavior, we're babies. We're still on milk. It's time that we grew up and understood what it is that we have on the inside of us. We have all that God has to offer. You know what? You don't have to have a certain educational level to be able to share what God's done for you. You can just share it just how you know it. And that's what God wants us to do, is share it like we know it and how we've received it. So what is the word saying here? If we set our mind on the things of the flesh, we can't please God. That's the bottom line. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and go to verse 16. And Dougie, you can put that in NIV if you want to. I think I did most of these scriptures in NIV. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. We're not the same. No matter how we feel, we're not the same. And sometimes we can say, well, I feel like, we don't live by feelings, we live by faith, but it doesn't matter what you feel, you're not the same. I remember when I first got saved, I walked out the door, I don't know what it was supposed to feel like to be saved, but I knew something had happened. But my mind was going, nothing happened. But it don't matter what I feel and what the mind says, the bottom line is, I'm not the same person. And what we're new creatures. We're new creations. And it's important that we meditate on that and get that into our spirit. We have the Zoe life of God on the inside of us, and that's why we have the victory. Not we're going to get the victory. We have the victory. Present tense, right now, everything you need to win, everything that you need to overcome, everything that you need, you already have. You can say, well, I can't see it. There you go again. Hey, doesn't matter if you see it, because in the supernatural realm, it's already been provided. But you know what? We have to obtain it. We have to speak it. We have to believe it. We have to claim that thing in our lives that we're looking for. And listen, it's probably not going to happen as fast as you want it to happen. The main reason is we shouldn't be waiting until we need it to be praying for it. That's why I have a time of confession every day. I have a time of confession. I have a time of confession where I'm speaking the Word of God over my life. Now I have a time of confession where I'm doing that, but I do that throughout the day. When people try to put something on me that I'm not receiving, I'll go, I ain't receiving that. The Word of God says, and I'll have me another time of confession. But I have confession time every day over what the Word says. Kenneth Copeland Ministries and some of these other ministries, they don't wait until they get to that town to pray before they go out on stage. I've had pastors that come and, you know, at other churches that I've been to, and they go, you got a place I can go pray? And one of the reasons why they're doing that is because they think that maybe, you know, they aren't spiritual enough, and they got to go pray and get something on them real quick before they go out. Well, let me tell you something. If you ain't prayed before you got there, ain't nothing going to change. And it's not you anyhow. Now, there's nothing wrong with excusing yourself to go somewhere to pray, but I mean, I know what we were taught in that denomination and some of the denominations that I've been in. But you know what? He was as anointed when he got there as he's going to be when he gets in the pulpit. That's the bottom line. And we need to understand that. So instead of, now stuff's still going to happen that we didn't expect, But you know, be preparing the way. Continue to sow that word on the inside of you so when that time comes, unexpected, that nothing but word comes out. I know what I see. I know what they say. I've told y'all about the time I received the letter where Medicare sent it to me certified saying you owe the Medicare system $1,008,000. Broke out in a cold sweat, sat down. My knees got weak, and I'm thinking, well, that ain't happening. And then I go, this is the word I used, preposterous. This is preposterous. There ain't no way. And you know what? I stood on the word and watched that thing, and in a matter of days and weeks, that thing was gone, and I didn't owe them any money. But see, some people can just be so overcome by that. Just because an attorney sends you a letter don't mean you got to get nervous. Just because the court sends you a letter don't mean you got to get... You ever notice that? We get all out of kilter over something. I have people send letters here. You know, people are totally happy with what we do till they get their first bill. We've got a whole folder of stuff that they sign that says, I know I'm responsible for my bill. And then when they finally get a bill, because it takes Medicare so long to pay, so when it takes them 90 to 120 days to pay, they've done forgot about that bill from 4 months ago. So then they get a bill because we can't bill them till the insurance pays. So the insurance pays, we bill the patient. They don't ever remember signing nothing. Nobody told them nothing. Butch told them they didn't have. I ain't never met these people in my life, but they got my name somewhere. Butch told me I didn't have to pay nothing. I ain't never talked to them people. Everything's great till they get that bill. Just cause, and many times it ain't even a bill. I go, would you do me a favor? Because they don't get it. They just want to fuss and fight. And I go, would you do me a favor? They go, yeah. I go, look at the very top of the letter. In big, bold letters, what does that say? Statement. I go, read them little letters under there. This is not a bill. I go, you got it? I don't care. And I'll say, listen, how can I make you happy? But do you know they'll still argue with me? Because they've never thought about what I could do to make them happy. They just wanted to fight. And we need to realize, just because we got a bill, just because we got a call from a certain person, it doesn't just go for that type of stuff, but I'm talking about this person over here is all out of kilter. Have you ever had somebody catch you by surprise and you find out they're mad at you? And it ain't even really something you did. They just misunderstood. And because they misunderstood, they're going off. And then there's this unction on the inside of you wanting to get you to go off too. You ever had that happen? Just totally caught you out of surprise. What? And then you want to go off because they went off. Well, why? Why should, because they're unsettled in their spirit, should we be unsettled in our spirit? And if we've messed up, what do? We go, I'm sorry. That's how you get it to go away real quick. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to tell you, but I'm sorry. Don't lie. Don't deny. If you did it, just go, yeah, I blew that. I wasn't thinking about it. Right? But sometimes we want to deny and deny and deny. And I've had that happen. I had the general overseer of the state of Kentucky tell me to do something. And I told him okay. And then I didn't do it. And then he caught me. And he called me back and he goes, you did what I told you not to do. And I go, listen, you ain't God. I first lied. I admit it. Pastor lied. But then I repented because he busted me. And he knew I was lying. and then I use making excuses again. This is maturity and immaturity, right? And I go, look, you ain't God. In other words, I'm going to go to the higher authority at this point. I wasn't subjecting myself to authority. I insinuated to him on the phone that I'd whoop him. Because that's how you dealt with stuff when you got caught lying back then, right? Hey, look, I'll show you I'm right. I'll just fight you. But you know, that isn't showing our maturity, is it? And that's not the way. But sometimes when we can get to the point when we quit allowing all those outside things to... Have you ever noticed that stuff in life, and it's a plot of the enemy. He just keeps putting stuff to come at us and to come at us and to come at us to get us to lose our cool, to get us to get our mind off the promises of God. God said, I'll meet all your need according to my riches and glory. Not only that, but if I would delight... So instead of being gravitated towards praise and worship when something's coming, when we feel like that in our spirit, so instead of gravitating towards that, what do? We start complaining and getting angry and getting mad. But see, the first thing he says was, if you'll delight yourself in him, in other words, be giving him praise and worship and tell him how much you love him through all the bad stuff, then you know what? He would give you the desires of your heart. But you notice the flesh wants to do the exact opposite of that. So we have to counteract that. We have to make sure that when we recognize when we're starting to feel unsettled, and instead of gravitating towards the flesh, we need to gravitate towards the things of the Spirit. Remember, anytime we feel unsettled, if you'll just break out in some praise and worship and thanksgiving, you'll notice that the attitude and the altitude changes. Every time. When you don't know what to do and you got pressure coming on you, just go, could you excuse me for a second? And walk over here and shihadabahadabahoda and start praising and worshiping and watch how things change. They will. They will absolutely change. It's already ours. It belongs to us. It's on the inside of us. When we got saved, the Zoe God kind of life came on the inside of us. All we have to do is walk in it. And it's not what we do. Listen, it's not what we do that brings the victory. It's already in us. The victory's already in us. I know. That girl gets with me. Why is this important? Because when our spirit's born again, not our soul man, not the feeler, thinker, chooser, not our body, to walk successfully and victoriously in the Christian life, we have to operate in the Spirit and not by the desires of the flesh and not by what's going on in the soul man until we've taken that thought captive to the Word of God. Look with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Go to verse 14. I'm going to read a few verses. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. By the way, this is Paul. Lots of people want to argue about it, but it's Paul. Sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want. I always read this and thought, my Lord, this is a confused man writing this. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. And I do what I do not want to do. I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So what Paul's doing here is he's trying to explain to people what attempts to happen when we don't understand what it is that we have on the inside of us. He's saying, look, when I was living to the flesh and living to that sinful nature, I wanted to do good. I wanted to do the right thing, but I didn't do it. And I didn't do it because the sin that was living within me is what manifested itself and what came out. And so that's what he's describing here. Sounds like he's talking out of his head and like he's talking crazy, but he's talking about before he came to God and understood who he was in God, that this other stuff is what was coming out. And it was coming out because as much as he wanted to do good, he didn't have the power of God in him to do it. But once he came to Christ and Zoe God life came into him, you know what? He was able to put that flesh under and be able to operate in the Spirit and be victorious. Look at verse 20. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work at me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Well, you know what? That's the way it is for all of us. If we were to give in to those thoughts and the desires that we know that don't line up with the Word of God, then we've given in to another law. When we walk around defeated, whooped, and beat, then what we're doing is we put ourselves back under what it is that God took us out of. Right? We're no longer that whooped little puppy and somebody's doormat and all of that. If we understand who we are in God, and we operate in that, we talk like that, we believe like that, we do that, then now I'm walking under the law of Christ. When I walk around defeated and whooped and beat, then what am I doing? So then people want to argue with you saying that you're not humble. It's not that we're not humble. It's not that we're being cocky. It's being that we're confident that what God's Word says is true. That's what it's being. And if people want to take that as cocky, I'm not going to argue with them, and I'm not going to fight with them. I'm just going to be confident, and I'm going to speak the truth in love, and I'm not going to go out and jam it down people's throat, but I will say, well, I don't believe that, not for 1 minute. I believe that by the stripes Jesus took to his back, I am healed. Very seldom have I ever gone in and prayed for somebody to go home. When I go in and pray for somebody in the hospital, I'm praying for them to get up out of that bed. But when I went and prayed for this 88-year-old fella and his wife, knowing that they had lived their entire life for that time to go together, and here they are ready to go, and he would tell you straight up he's ready to go, she would tell you straight up she's ready to go. The Bible says he satisfies our days with long life. And guess what? They were satisfied and they were ready to go. And you know what? I told my wife, I go, people better not be praying for me that everybody has peace before this person goes to heaven. I said, before I got done praying, the man was gone to heaven. I go, Lord, give this family peace. And I thank you, Father, that this brother that I got my hand on right now, he knows to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. He said, and he was gone. That quick. Hey, he was just ready for somebody to release it. You know, he'd been waiting on her. Now she was sitting there ready to go too. She'd been waiting on him all these years. And now they're going to be in heaven. And I told him, you know what, eternity compared to this short-term life we have at 7, 80, 90, 100, no matter what that is, in comparison to eternity, that ain't nothing. We'll be with them one day. I didn't know that guy here on earth, but I'll know him in heaven because I touched his life. Paul says here, look, I had that carnal man, and what I what I wanted to do back then, I didn't do. My members, my flesh, what I want to do what's right, but my flesh was trying to fight against what it was that I wanted to do. And the Bible tells, I mean, according to Strong's Concordance, when you look at the will, it's talking about the soul man, the mind, will, intellect, emotions, feeler, thinker, chooser, as I said before. There's a battle that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. But the battle is always here. The fight that we fight, and I've been telling y'all that since I've been pastoring here, that the battle, it doesn't matter if the enemy attacks your body. We may have felt the attack in the body, but the attack's right here. You know, we may have felt that when the phone rang, somebody was attacking us. But have you ever noticed that people can't hurt you if you don't let them? People can't get to you if you don't let them. Did you know that? You teach people how to treat you. And it's amazing. Kids will go to school and they hang around kids that make fun of them. And they'll keep hanging around because they want to get accepted. But you know what? If they treat me like that and I won't have nothing to do with them, then they can't treat me like that anymore. Now, I say that about kids, but how many adults do that? Some man beat the smack out of some woman, and then she goes, and then she goes back to him. I go, "What are you doing?" She goes, "But I love him." I go, "Let me get this right. This man whooped you, and you love him, right?" I go, "Wow, that's love. So much love that you just let him use you as a punching bag." We teach people how to treat us. People can't do that to us if we don't let them. People can't talk to us just any old way if we don't let them. We'll say, "Wait a minute. People will call my office and they're my patients. I make money off of them. But they'll call my office and they'll be hateful with the people in my office and curse them and all kinds of stuff. And I'll grab the phone and I'll go, "Wait a minute. I'm going to try to help you, but I don't talk to my people here like this, and you definitely ain't going to talk to them like that." And they'll go, "You go blankety, 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 blankety." And I go, "Okay, I will, but I'm telling you, if you talk to my people like that again, I'm going to discharge you as a patient, and don't you call back here anymore." I'll tell them that, because I'm going to teach them that might work somewhere else. See, that spirit of manipulation, the Bible says that's witchcraft. And man, there's just something about that that gets all on the inside of me. My spirit in the spirit realm just wants to whoop them. Seriously. Because if you've manipulated somebody, you haven't loved them. And I know, I recognize that. See, the flesh serves, we serve the law of God, but the flesh wants to serve sin. And in other words, we know who is right. And what is right, we just have an issue doing the right thing sometimes. Flesh is defined as the earthly or worldly part of a person. Carnal as opposed to spiritual. Flesh, if we're going after the flesh, that's after the sensual nature or the corrupt nature. And carnal is defined as sensual or worldly, non-spiritual. Related to kind of like they're crude. The people are just crude. Have you seen people that just want to be in your face with their sin? They're just crude and rude and socially unacceptable, actually. Just trying to jam it down your throat sometimes. The desires and the appetites after the flesh is what I'm talking about here. And that's often used to describe a worldly Christian. Sometimes Christian people have allowed that stuff to move in. Here's what I never could understand. Maybe I told you I'm going to preach about this one time, and I'm going to. You know, one thing I don't understand about sipping saints who think that, listen, sometimes when I used to go out and party, I went out with the intentions of getting drunk. I go, "I'm getting drunk." So Sometimes I went out and was going to behave myself. I wasn't going to get drunk. I was just going to go out and have a drink. But I got drunk. And then Christians go, well, I just drink socially. And I don't allow myself to get to the point of being buzzed. I'm just drinking socially. Really? How do you distinguish that? Because I noticed that I just drank right on past that line. I smoked right on past that line. I ate pills right on past the line. I snorted stuff right past the line. There never was no line. How do you think that you can dabble with the thing? And do you know what drugs and alcohol do? Drugs and alcohol alter your soul man and your mind. In other words, it has to do with witchcraft as well. As a matter of fact, anything that alters the mind. Listen, I just want to go home and have a glass of wine and relax. Why? Because the wine relaxes me. Why? Because it alters the mind. I'm relaxed, all right. Can't even get up. I don't have a drinking problem. I drink. I fall down. No problem. How do Christian people? I never have figured that out. How do Christian people? Well, every drunk knows this. Have a little wine for the stomach. Okay. Well, there's all kinds of stuff you can have for the stomach. They didn't have Pepto-Bismol then when they wrote the Bible. They didn't have Mylanta. Or as Kim's granny used to give me, the natural remedy was what? Papaya for the stomach. They didn't have all that stuff. But here's the deal. There's over 1,000 scriptures in the Word about drinking. And most of it's referring to unfermented wine. Okay? The rest of it saying, don't be drunk with strong drink. Don't look at the wine while it sparkles in the glass. Don't come into my temple when you've been drinking because you can't distinguish between what's holy and what's common. I mean, and Christian people, if I'm going to turn around, if I used to drink and party and all that, and that's what my life wrapped around, and that's what I used to do, if I repented, which means I turned around, isn't that something I don't do anymore? Unless I'm looking for a reason to do it? That's real popular teaching. What it boils down to is total gratification of the self. Whatever we feel, whatever we think about, we just think we need to go do. But that's not right. People that have a shopping problem are just as bad. What are you doing? You're gratifying the flesh. It's not a sin to shop. It's not a sin to shop. But it's a sin if you're over the top with it. If your family's in financial pressure because of your careless shopping, then you know what? You got an issue. You need to put the flesh under the spirit. That was popular too, I can tell. Where's that pen I can hear drop? What I think, what I want to do, what I desire, that's that selfish spirit. It equals absolute, total selfishness. And that's the nature of the flesh. Think about it. Eve was seduced. Why? Because the one thing she wanted that she couldn't have, she had to have. And then Adam got seduced into it. How? Because he wanted to make the wife happy. Plus, he had to have somebody to blame, which it was easy to blame the wife, right? All these things are fruit of selfishness because the flesh only thinks of itself and desires after things of self. When you let your selfish wants and desires control you, you'll grow the fruits of the flesh, which are anger, strife, hatred, jealousy, selfish ambition, lust, deceitfulness, contentions, murder. Have you noticed the stupid stuff that people kill people for? I mean, you can watch shows all day long about people that kill people for their money. They was having an affair with somebody else and killed them for their money. They had an affair with somebody else and they just killed them because they both didn't like them. You can watch shows like that all day long. And then people who are in prison because they stole somebody's stuff. I mean, do you know the stupid stuff? One guy, not just here in Winter Haven, we happen to know people that are kind of related to him. Just a couple weeks ago, a 21-year-old guy is married to a 42-year-old woman, and he's messing around with a 19-year-old girl. Well, he breaks it off with the 19-year-old girl, but that ain't good enough for the 42-year-old woman. She wants to go over there and kill her. So they go over there with a bat and a pistol and a knife and a Mexican guy. They need a Mexican guy to help them. So the guy lures the 19-year-old out. Now, they all three go together, the 42-year-old wife, the 21-year-old son, and the Mexican guy, who I think was like 27, 28. They lure the 19-year-old girl out of her apartment. The 21-year-old guy, used to date her, goes and punches her in the face, and waiting for the Mexican guy to come around with the bat. But the girl comes out, and she ain't an idiot, so she takes a switchblade and guts him right there. So then they go, oh, I got gutted. And all three of them run to the hospital. Go to the hospital, and when they get there, they're arrested by the Winter Haven police, where they go to their car and find the gun, the knife, and the bat. Just because... The guy, what did the 42-year-old woman do to the 21-year-old guy? Why has it all got to be the 19-year-old girl? She had to have a participant. But the jealousy, look at the stuff that comes out of people that's so ugly. And you know, sometimes it comes out of Christian people, and it shouldn't. People are looking at Christians to see that they got on the outside what they say they have on the inside. In other words, don't tell me, show me. Have you ever noticed you can't tell people? When we allow the flesh to control us and not the life of God, not the Zoe that's on the inside of us, that's in our spirit, then we're operating by the flesh. And the flesh is the unregenerate nature. That's the nature that we had before we got saved. But that's not even what's in us. Our spirit is regenerated or reborn. We're a new creation. So what should the new creation look like? Here's how to recognize whether you're operating in the... Well, I just told you what the flesh looks like. Let's look at what the spirit looks like. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance." By the way, that's patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In other words, just because I feel like doing it don't mean that I necessarily go do it. Just because I feel like giving them a peace of mind don't mean that I do. Against such things, there is no law. But what's the fruit of the flesh? The Bible's plain. Fruit of the flesh is anger. We can be angry and sin not, but most people don't. Greed, gluttony, untruthfulness, murder, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, say that a bunch of times. That means nasty. And covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Listen, filthy communication, You know when they're telling the dirty joke and you think it's funny? The former conversation, when it's talking about our former conversation, it's talking about our former way of life. In other words, we shouldn't even be talking like we used to talk. We got something different on the inside of us now. We should be talking differently. You know, I'll never forget it. I was working with this guy and his wife, and oh man, they were spirit-filled, and they just were charismatic, bouncing off the wall, charismatic. You know, you go, how you doing? They'd start speaking in tongues. You know, they were spiritual. But I got to working with them one day, and the wife walks across a wet floor and falls and lands on her butt bone. And when she does, you should have heard what came out of her mouth. And you can say, well, you say things when you get hurt and mad. No. No. You don't. I mean, once again, we're making excuses. Everybody don't do that. Say, everybody does that when they get hurt. No, they don't. Not everybody. You don't have to sin every day. You know, if you've gotten everything else in your life sanctified and you ain't got your mouth sanctified, you got issues. You better get that mouth sanctified. And let me tell you, that's as part of the old life as everything else of the old life is. I know that all came along with all the stuff that I was doing, was that way we talked. That stuff that came out. And you know what? If when we get hurt or we're mad, that comes out. You got some stuff you need to get under the word, because that ain't right. No, everybody don't do it. And if you're making excuses for it, you're a baby. You're a spiritual baby. You need to make that as big a priority as anything else you've made. We've got to keep the flesh under the dominion of the Spirit. And that is more than just controlling your fleshly appetite and the things that your flesh desire. It's controlling all the behaviors that we mentioned. Be quick to forgive. Don't be jealous over what other people have. You know, don't be greedy. Be a giver. Be a giver. Don't be greedy. You gotta squash that head of anger and greed and strife and bitterness. When that stuff rears its ugly head in our life, we need to identify it, ask God to forgive us, and say, God, that's the last time that I'm ever going to allow that to happen. That thing's under the blood. I'm getting that thing in line. I'm getting it under the blood, and that ain't coming out no more. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look, I know this ain't real popular preaching, but it's good preaching. Amen. It's needed preaching. The church needs to hear it. Church needs to do it. Not just our church, the church. Probably ought to be preached a little more often. Actually, this could be preached to preachers. I would preach it to preachers. Y'all know I don't care, right? If the Lord tells me to preach it, I'd preach it to preachers. I ain't got no problem. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, in other words, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The soul man. The one that you're supposed to be transformed and renewed. How do we do that? By the Word of God. It says here, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you know what? We read here that we're supposed to put the old man off the way we used to be, and we're to be renewed in the spirit of our soul man. How we feel. how we think, what we choose. We're to be renewed in that. We're to put on the new man, which is a new creation according to God and created towards godly things. It is something I do. In other words, I can't control the way I feel or think or choose unless I do it. Notice one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Well, I get my... See, God's already done the work in here. The heart wants to do it. That's why the Spirit of God's going, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't do it. In other words, the Spirit of God's checking us, right? We feel it on the inside, but our head goes, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to tell them. I'm on, and we go do it anyhow. Because the head is guiding the Spirit. But once I get that word on the inside of me, nothing's going to change unless I make a conscious decision that what the Word of God says is what I'm going to do. It's something that I do. It's a choice that I make. And it's something that you do. You're going to control what you feel and what you choose, right? And what you think. And how do you do that? You do that because you know what the Word says we should be thinking about. You know what the Word says, that it doesn't matter about our feelings, it matters about faith. So what does the Word say? And what I choose is going to be things that build up instead of things that tear down. I'm going to choose to be around people that lift me up instead of tear me down. Well, I tell you what, but they're my family. If your family doesn't lift you up and they knock you down, love them, but don't hang out with them. Well, we have family dinner. Well, go have a family dinner, talk about godly stuff, and then go home. Love them. But you know what? If they don't build up, don't let... Why you do all that work to build up and then go somewhere and allow yourself to be torn down in your spirit? Every person in here has old relationships. We all have old relationships that weren't real good for us. So you know what? Those old relationships can't get to us if we don't let them. You know, when you're talking to teenagers, they don't get it sometimes about the sex thing. See, what they don't understand is, when you unite yourself with somebody, the Bible says you become one with them. When you become one with another person, then, you know, God, did you know that God made that relationship so that we didn't have people, we shouldn't be comparing? God's ultimate plan was that we didn't compare, you know, relationships. We're not supposed to. And other people don't understand that when we hook up with all these different people, we've left pieces of ourselves all over town. And, you know, and what does it do? It leaves for comparison, thinking that we shouldn't even be thinking, putting ourselves in a position that we shouldn't be, many times gets in the way of our fulfilling our goals and the plans that God has for our lives. And we go, oh, they're just trying to tell me what to do because they don't want me to. We ain't trying to tell them what to do. We're trying to tell them what's the right thing to do. What's the Word say? What's God's perfect plan for them? But sometimes, if you don't think this is true, hormones overcome God's will. Which goes right back to controlling the things of the flesh and being self-controlled. To the point that I'm going to fulfill my goals and I'm going to fulfill God's will in my life regardless of these desires that I have. And you put that under the Spirit. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Hey, it's proper worship when I do the Word of God rather than what the flesh feels like to do. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Once again, God wants to do you good. He's got a perfect will for you. When we get our mind transformed to the Word and renewed by the Word, we'll know that God's plan's the best plan. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what it is I want. God's plan's the plan. And regardless of what I'm feeling and what I'm going through and what's going on all around me, I'm going to do what God wants me to do because He's got a good, pleasing, perfect plan for my life. Don't let anything get in your way of that. The Word says we're to present our body. The Word says we're to renew our minds. And how do we renew our minds? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read two passages here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value and only ruins those who listen. Listen, you're going to have people say things, and if people say that words don't hurt, that's a lie. Because words hurt and words wound. But do you know that just because somebody spoke the words that are hurtful don't mean that I have to receive them? I don't have to receive them. And so you know what? If they try to curse me with their words, and I don't receive that because I've been blessed by the Word of God, and I've got the blessing on my life, just because they say something doesn't make it true. Right? They can say, you're never going to be worth anything. You're going to be in trouble the rest of your life. You're going to be in jail before you're 18. You're going to be pregnant before you're 16. You're going to be... You know what? Don't you put that on nobody, and don't you receive it. That's hurtful, but I tell you what, we don't have to receive that. We don't have to accept that. He says here, it only ruins those who listen. If I don't receive it, then I'm not listening. Look at verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Well, how do you correctly handle the word of truth? You do what it says. That's how you correctly handle it. Verse 19, skip down to verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what? Do you know that we're called to be the peacemaker? So let's say that you're in a situation where you see things are getting out of hand. You need to take that one that you're close to, and you need to pull them out of that situation and go, wait a minute. Let me get you over here. Let's think about this for a minute. You be the peacemaker. Don't be sitting there encouraging it. Somebody's got to have a cooler head. A cooler head's got to prevail. Somebody's got to have the word coming out of them. And you know what? Many times in that situation, you could be the peacemaker. Kids, when y'all are at school and you see people picking on other people, you can stop that. And you should stop that. You should stop it by telling the people, they go, well, we're arranging to be here at a certain time to fight. We all had them, right? We're going to meet at the McDonald's at 12 o'clock in the parking lot. Well, you know what? They go, well, if I don't show up, they'll think I'm a coward. Well, no. How about the fact that, you know, you're just not going to fight? You ain't going to prove anything fighting. Talk them out of it. You can be the peacemaker. When you see a girl getting picked on because of her size or because of the way they look or something like that, and don't think Christian people don't do this too, because they do. You know, let me tell you something. We need to break that up. We need to be the peacemaker in that situation. Pursue righteousness. Pursue holiness. God loves people. He don't care what they look like. He don't care where they've been, what they've done. He loves them. If He does, and He's put that love in us, we should be loving them too. It should hurt our heart and our spirit if we hear people, cutting them down like that. Get involved. Don't just let it happen. These are the things that we need to do. We need to renew our mind with the Word of God. We're to study to show ourselves approved according to that last scripture. We need to flee our youthful lust. We're to pursue holiness. And there's one thing that we need to notice here. These are all choices that we make. We choose whether we're going to do this or not. And we need to take responsibility for our actions as a believer and in every aspect of our lives. So, I'm going to close with this. Look, turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. And I've got a couple passages in this same deal here. Look at verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So it always ends the same way it begins, doesn't it? Doesn't it? What is the key of walking in the Spirit? What is the key of walking in the supernatural and how to identify whether we're in the flesh or in the Spirit? Love. We know what love is like. We know what the love of God has done in us, and that's what the love of God will do and flow out of us if we'll let it happen. For God so loved that He gave. So you and I are to put on love because love is the key. And we've read this, haven't we? 1 Corinthians. You know, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, the Bible here says that you can be martyred for your faith and have not had love. And that wouldn't do you any good. If your motivation wasn't love for what you did, and how can you have unforgiveness in your heart and be motivated by love? How can you be jealous and be motivated by love? How can you be greedy and be motivated by love? How can you feel slighted and be motivated by love? You can't. We can do all these things, and if we don't walk in love, it means nothing. So you and I are to operate in love. These other things are traits that show immaturity. Listen, we don't overcome evil by evil. That's not the way it works. We overcome evil with love. We're going to win the world when we love them. And we're going to show the goodness of God and the love of God to other people. That's how we're going to win. Amen? So stand with me this morning.